And so to the Puritans, as they comment on the life of David, they said that the deeds of immorality are always preceded by repeated secret thoughts along the lines of the impurity. So whether David on the rooftop looking down, whether it was his first look or not, we know the thoughts were there. Because he had in his mind brought him to the place that he had thoughtfully decided on that woman that wasn't his own. And David fell headlong into sin. His fixation on the naked form of a woman he was not married to is closely mirrored by what goes on today around the world, around the clock. Our culture has risen to the point where what David did at night at a certain instant can be reproduced endlessly. How did David get into such a place spiritually that he fell so fast and so far? Like a terrorist, the powerful addiction that pornography can produce overpowered him. You see, no matter how many times he looked, that image in his mind of Bathsheba overpowered him. Don't forget that. That David, the man after God's own heart, was overpowered by an image he would not let go of in his mind. That's the essence of what pornography does. Whether a believer or an unbeliever, anyone who is not vigilantly denying ungodliness on a daily basis succumbs to what I'll share from this study from Wheaton is that pornography works by hijacking the brain. Now, you remember hijacking? I remember the first time I consciously ever remember hijacking was, the PLO, the Achille Lauro, and they took that Leon Klingenhofer in his wheelchair, tied him to it, and threw him overboard, and he drowned. And they hijacked the boat, this cruise ship. And basically, the idea of terrorism is hijackers always work by slipping in innocently and then overpowering an unsuspecting crew, be it an airplane, cruise boat, whatever. That is what happens the world over online as Satan uses easily accessible media to slip in innocently and to then overpower. This is an analysis that I share with you of the recent study from Wheaton College, and I'll be reading 583 words of it. And they're very interesting words. And I've read it over and over again and tried to cut out as many things as I could without losing the message of what they're saying. We are fast becoming the pornographic society. Over the course of the last decade, explicitly sexual images have crept into advertising, marketing, and virtually every niche of American life. This ambient pornography is now almost everywhere. It's from our local shopping mall to our primetime television. And by the way, since this article was written, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission decided last week that they will no longer fine stations for nudity. It used to be you weren't supposed to do it, and if you did it, you fined. Now they said we're not going to fine anymore. So that's like saying, no trespassing, but if you trespass, it's okay. It's just an open door. Continuing to the study. To no one's surprise, the vast majority of those who consume pornography are males. That's not a new development, as ancient forms of pornography attest. What is new about all this is the access. Today's men and boys are not looking at line pictures drawn on cave walls. And they have found that. I mean, way back in caveman times, a generation or two after the fall of man and woman from the Garden of Eden, the decline downward, I'm sure that there became people that left the civilized world of Cain's city and went to the caves. And after the flood, there were lots more of them. But instead of line drawings on cave walls, Today's men have almost instant access to countless forms of pornography in myriads of forms. William M. Struthers of Wheaton College, a psychologist with a background in neuroscience and a teaching concentration in biological bases of human behavior, writes in his study, "Men seem to be wired in such a way that pornography hijacks the proper functioning of their brains and has a long-lasting effect not only on their thought process, but their lives. The simplest explanation for why men view pornography or solicit prostitutes is that they are driven to seek out intimacy. The urge for intimacy is a God-given essential to the male, but it is easily misdirected, as men are tempted to seek a shortcut to their pleasure via pornography. The problem is our culture has made that shortcut easily accessible. In a fallen world, pornography becomes as addictive as any poison." And this is his analysis. "Viewing pornography is not an emotionally or a physiologically neutral experience. It is fundamentally different from looking at a black and white photo of the Lincoln Memorial or taking in a color map of the provinces of Canada. Men are reflexively drawn to the content of the pornographic material. As such, pornography has a wide-reaching effect to energize that man toward intimacy. It is not a neutral stimulus. It draws them in. Porn is a whispered promise. It promises more, better, and endless pleasures. Pornography is a polydrug. Boredom and curiosity lead many boys and many men into experiences that become more like a drug addiction than we are willing to admit." You know, people kind of have sympathy on a drug addict, and they smugly smirk when they hear of a Hollywood actor going into a clinic in Palm Desert for his addiction to immorality. But truly, what he's saying is, they are addicted as to drugs. Why men rather than women? As Struthers explains, the male and female brains are wired differently. Over time, a man's exposure to pornography takes him, or a boy, deeper along, and I like this, a one-way neurological superhighway where a man's mental life is over-sexualized and narrowed. This highway has countless on-ramps, but almost no off-ramps. Amazing. Pornography is visually magnetic to the male brain. These experiences with pornography and pleasure cause their hormones to develop new patterns in the brain's wiring, and repeated experiences will formalize a rewiring of the mind.